This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Whenever we come back, we'll talk about football. That's a promise that we probably will not be able to live up to. That's next.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to all this free extra bonus time of Almost Entirely Sports. We didn't have a show for like 6 days. We thought today was going to be a 30-minute show. We blazed through those 30 minutes like lines of cocaine. And I feel like, you know, really had a good 30 minutes there. And then all of a sudden, boom, the baseball game that was preempting us is now in a rain delay. So we get more extra bonus show. We'll get to some Chiefs text and stuff in a little bit. And I'm very much looking forward to next week, Chiefs and Steelers. That'll all come up here in just a second. One other really interesting thing that happened with the anthem thing, then we'll move on to other stuff. That Jerry Jones said that any Cowboys player who, quote, disrespects the flag won't be allowed to play. I will be very interested to see how he judges that, how that pans out, who has the will to stand up to Jerry Jones. I look forward to seeing how that one goes.
I also think it's funny that his flirting with the camera that one night, he thought that would end it all.
Yeah. This is the ignorance of, I told you this the day it happened. This is the ignorance of everything that the NFL did with that, all that unity stuff. It's all coming back to bite them now in this big way where they go, oh God, I guess we do have to actually pick a side here, don't we? Because Jerry Jones out there and took a knee with his team as an act of unity before the anthem and then stood up and then the flag came out and the anthem was played. All the owners put out these statements saying, we like, we're going to have unity. No, we like unity. A couple owners said, we want to respect the flag. A couple of the owners focused on, we want to respect our players' ability to individually speak on things. Most of them said, unity, I guess. That was the word of the day. I can't believe they thought that was going to be enough. But you're right, Beards. That's what Jerry Jones did. Jerry Jones thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to go out here. I'm going to, I guess, knee. I'm going to knee before the anthem. I'm going to make love to that camera. I'm going to stand back up for the actual anthem. We're going to link arms. We're going to be all good. No one's going to even remember that police brutality is a problem for many black Americans. Not after this. We are unified. The ignorance in that is unbelievable to me. Really, it's unbelievable to think that that was going to stop anything or fix anything or solve anything, more importantly, solve anything. Nothing. It meant nothing, and now you've got all of these things. And man, there's still so much ignorance in the way we talk about it all. And what does disrespecting the flag mean? What happens if Dak Prescott comes to the next game wearing an American flag suit jacket? My thought is, oh, look at him. He's a real patriot. You don't make a three-piece suit. Three-piece suit. Whole thing. American flag print three-piece suit. Which I'm pretty sure is a violation of the actual, like, code of the flag. Whatever. Is that disrespect of the flag? Is that extra free patriotism? What if you put your fist up? Marcus Peters did that for a while. He stood at the end and put his fist up. Does that count? And by the way, also, I think we're going to save the Marcus Peters conversation for tomorrow. At least the Marcus Peters conversation of his anthem. He talked to Travis Paler. We'll do that. I was also planning on having that be like the main like chief story for tomorrow also. And now I just like, right now TBS is playing some maybe like detective-ish show that looks truly terrible.
It looks like every other cop drama that's ever existed.
I think it's a comedy. There's currently a dog looking at a computer.
That's also true.
It looks... Oh my God. Were you watching when I just was
watching? Yes, I'm watching the exact same thing you are.
A police dog just apparently on a computer accidentally opened a file of a dog humping a stuffed animal. I'm sorry, I'm in shock. I'm simply stunned. I'm gonna guess this is a comedy. But it looks truly terrible. So I have no idea. I know that right now the game is allegedly delayed, so we might have a whole hour of this.
The tarp came out.
No, oh, got it.
That's
okay.
The last update.
I'm gonna assume that we accidentally ended up getting a full 2-hour show today. That's how I'm gonna run this. Alright, let's talk about Marcus Peters then. I know a bunch of people did not get this far, so we'll talk about Marcus Peters again tomorrow. Because I'm guessing that some people listening to the podcast turned it off with all the cocaine and Anthem stuff.
First sniff or like the 12th sniff, do you think? What was the cutoff?
I think it was the 30-minute mark. I think it was after we went to break and then came back, and I was like, hey, Mike Pence. I think that was the cutoff for most people. But we can talk about Marcus Peters, and we'll talk about him more tomorrow. Let's talk about what happened on the sidelines on Sunday night first. I've seen a lot of very, very hot takes about this. Here's mine. Mine started by seeing Jason Lamb, who works for Fox 4 here in Kansas City. He looks vaguely familiar. His name is vaguely familiar. I don't know him. Anyway. He tweeted, "Is anybody else tired of Marcus Peters' act? Just think what he'd be like if he played on a bad team. Hashtag Chiefs, hashtag Chiefs Kingdom, hashtag Chiefs versus Texans." With several screen caps of Marcus Peters on the sideline, one where Justin Houston sitting in front of him, one of Marcus Peters yelling, and then one of Marcus Peters making a very angry face. Listen, man. And this isn't to Jason Lamb. He is probably a fine dude. Everybody. This is for everybody. If you, personally, you listening, if you listening are deeply shocked and offended by Marcus Peters being emotional and animated and screaming on the sidelines, you have literally no idea what you're watching on NFL Sundays. You have no idea what's happening out there. You just can't. You can't possibly think that way and have any idea what's going on. This is as close to a gladiatorial game as we have at this point in our culture. You've got money and pride and the ire of tens of thousands of people in the stadium watching you, and of hundreds of thousands of people watching you on television, relying on your team and your performance for their happiness and also for your personal future financial situation. There's so much emotion pumping through NFL games constantly. And I'm sure there are a ton of fans who are TV screamers. I mentioned earlier today, I'm not really a screamer. I don't really scream at the TV. Not really my thing. Don't know why. Doesn't matter. But are you allowed to scream at your television whenever Marcus Peters gives up a touchdown? But Marcus Peters isn't allowed to scream on the sidelines as he's actually in the game? Actually in that moment, actually dealing with the consequences in real time? It's just so silly to me that that's a place where you're going to clutch your pearls and not the concussions or the CTE or Chris Conley's Achilles tendon shooting up his leg. J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless. There are three guys knocked out for the year. The first play of the game on Sunday night, a Chief got kicked in the head. Literally kicked in the head. Not purposefully, but that was the result. He got kicked in the head and didn't move until he was carted out. So if Marcus Peters being emotional on the sideline is as far as you can go in football, you've gotten through a whole lot more long before you got to that point. And that kind of... that kind of selective outrage just drives me crazy. Also on TBS now, I'm finding out that apparently Snoop Dogg is hosting a game show. Because that's something else that this world has been waiting for. I can't believe I didn't know this was happening. Fantastic. And I've heard people also saying, oh, you know what? I'm also getting worried about Marcus Peters' play. He's been beaten a couple times these last couple of weeks, and he has been. It's fine. And I think that also, I don't know how you can see a couple of these specific plays that gotten beaten on and be like ready to check out on the Marcus Peters experience. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. There are these plays where he's giving up a touchdown by an inch. And it's a game of inches, whatever, blah, 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 cliche, cliche, cliche. I get it. Whatever, he's dropping back on, I think it was Terrell Pryor, that first one against Washington. He's dropping back, and he jumps instead of taking a couple more pedals backwards. And it turns an interception into a touchdown. So he's just done now. He gives up the touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins in his first ever NFL snap at right cornerback. Kind of bizarre. Seems like probably a busted scheme. The idea that anyone's out here checking out on Marcus Peters is completely bonkers to me. Either for his emotions or for his play. Either way. I think if either of those things are sending you into a downward spiral, that you are just not really sure what you're watching on Sundays, so you're jumping onto a rage bandwagon. We're not on Facebook Live anymore because we thought the show was going to be 25 minutes, and so we did that, and then turned it off and then came back again. But on the Facebook comments, Andrew Newberry commented, to anyone that said that they saw this coming from Alex Smith is unequivocally full of bleep. And the great thing about it is that he actually said bleep. And I enjoy that. I enjoy that bleep is making it into the lexicon of the comment sections of this show. And in case you missed it earlier or whatever, the Alex Smith conversation is fascinating. I said this on Twitter, I think, and I said it earlier today, and I'll probably say it tomorrow because this conversation is going to continue this way forever. He has a tremendous completion percentage. He has a tremendous quarterback rating. Fantastic. None of that really matters to me. Which is not me being a wet blanket on Alex Smith, but me trying to let you know what does matter. I've seen Alex Smith be efficient. I've seen Alex Smith not throw interceptions. Something I didn't see, I saw a little bit in week one and again last night, or Sunday night. I saw Alex Smith throwing past the sticks on third down. That never happens. He doesn't do that. That's not Alex Smith. That's the stuff that matters to me. And I don't know if I've seen anybody saying that they specifically were seeing this version of Alex Smith coming, but I have encountered a small handful of people who are acting as if this isn't a surprise somehow, or acting as if me being surprised by it or me not predicting this earlier on is a huge scuff on my resume. Please. I'm as happy as anybody about how good Alex Smith has looked. And he has done things in the regular season so far that I have not expected to see in any way whatsoever. However, I've seen Alex Smith be really good in the regular season. Not this good. This is different still. I'm acknowledging that this is different and better. But I haven't seen much of this. I've seen none of this in the playoffs in Kansas City. So for all of the pessimisms and optimisms I've had about Alex Smith, they're all going to have to be verified come playoff time. This stuff matters still. I'm not going to say that nothing matters until the playoffs. I think that's an ignorant way to go about this. But this is where it's kind of a... This is where it ends up in a difficult place. Now, feel free to fact check me on this one. It's not really a fact check. Just, you can let me know if this doesn't work for you. But I'm encouraged by regular season Alex Smith this year. I think we're seeing him do things that makes me feel better about this year's playoffs, where I'm much more optimistic than I usually would be. And I'm not saying that any of this doesn't matter. However, I think that if we get to the playoffs and it just doesn't show up, it's all of a sudden it's 2014 or 2016 Alex Smith, I guess even 2015 Alex Smith, whatever. If we get anything but 2017 Alex Smith in the playoffs and it all crumbles down, the regular season is going to be hugely forgettable. And so, and this was bizarre to me, but I mentioned earlier I was running the board for Between the Lines yesterday over on 810 because we didn't have a show here. And very quickly, the conversation turned to, if Alex Smith wins the Super Bowl, is he going to get a contract extension? I was like, whoa, wait a second. That's like 15 steps into this conversation I wasn't expecting to get to. But some of the perspectives were really surprising to me. Regardless, I don't want to follow that rabbit too far. Maybe eventually, maybe tomorrow, maybe later in the show, whatever. TBS is just showing this terrible show. And every single TBS promo that they've shown has also been truly atrocious looking. Like, there's like a James Corden lip sync show. There's a Snoop Dogg game show.
I've been trying to figure out what the show is. I'll keep digging and I'll get back to you.
This TBS, like, detective show, you mean? TBS detective show. I'm looking forward to the report on the Beards. I already found it, man. What are you doing with your life? You couldn't find it. It's called Angie Tribeca.
It's called what now?
Angie Tribeca. I'm guessing that's the main character's name.
Huh.
91% of users like this show on Google, according to Google users. It's in season 3, it looks like. Starring Rashida Jones as Angie Tribeca. I don't know Rashida Jones, but her name sounds familiar. It's a Steve Carell. Hold on a second. It's the brainchild of Steve and Nancy Carell. Interesting. Moving on. I don't care that much. I think... What are you throwing your hands up at, Beards?
Cubs Nationals has been postponed. We'll play tomorrow.
Oh, God.
So we got a show today.
But not tomorrow?
But not tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, man. Do we know what time tomorrow?
Hold on. Let me pull it up. 4:08 Eastern. So.
Also, Chris Pine is in this show right now, apparently as a criminal of some sort. All right. What was that? Sorry, Beards. I got distracted.
3:08 Central.
Okay, so no show tomorrow at all.
No show tomorrow for us.
Okay.
No Wet and Wild Wacky Wednesday, starring Warley Warlin.
Oh, yeah, that's disappointing.
That is disappointing. He's here. Let me go get him. We'll have Wet and Wild Tuesday.
Let's not.
Okay. Thursday.
Maybe a Wet and Wild Thursday. Maybe a thoroughly thirsty Thursday. Boom! Nailed it!
I'll come up with imaging. I'll have that ready for Thursday.
Please do. God, I was going somewhere with it, Alex. Something. Oh, okay. So listen. Ivan chimes in on Twitter with two things. First of all, he said, what about cocaine? I missed that segment. We'll podcast that. We'll podcast the cocaine segment. We'll get back to cocaine in a minute. What? Also, Ivan says, Alex is on a roll. If he wins the MVP, that's when you should start scratching your head. Yeah, for sure. I'm scratching my head a little bit now. And like, as a compliment to Alex Smith, like, this is all surprising and everything. I'm still here with this being surprising. But as you look at it, if you do want to play this, like, what if they win the Super Bowl game? Like, Kevin yesterday on BTO was of the perspective that they would give him a contract extension. You don't let a Super Bowl winning quarterback walk. I think they would let him just play out the next season. I think they would give him the next season. But I would be very surprised to see them chuck up more money into Alex Smith for one really amazing year. I would be surprised by that. It's a trap that teams fall into all the time. That's why Joe Flacco is making a ton of money. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. And it was all, well, you can't let a Super Bowl winning quarterback go. The Ravens would be at a better place now as a franchise if they would have let Flacco go, built around a young quarterback differently. Anyway, none of that really matters. The thing for me, the thing that's going to go ahead and put a fog over this whole season is the question of what happens in the playoffs. Not a question, I guess. The fact for me that whatever happens in the playoffs is going to have the chance to completely change the perception of what happened in the regular season. And I think that's fair, frankly. I think that's fair. That's been the question. Those are the questions I was asking early on. The reason that I said during the preseason that I thought there was a case to be made for Patrick Mahomes just getting this season was that I don't trust playoff Alex Smith. I didn't think that Alex Smith was going to be a different quarterback in 2017 than he had been at any other point throughout his career. Which is something that, again, I'm pretty comfortable like having said. I don't feel like a super idiot currently. Anyway. That's something I find very interesting, is the fact that all this can shift on a bad playoff game. All right, we're here till 6, so we got a full show today, and then no show tomorrow because of baseball. But that's okay, so we're going to get a surprise full show today. Whenever we come back, we'll do a little bit of specifics, a few more specific conversation points from Chiefs and Texans. Also, in case you miss some of the cocaine conversation, we might talk about that a little bit more because it's just such a good damn story. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Sam Bradford is to quarterbacking as Sam Bradford is to handsomeness.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Can you score with him? I think so.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Here's a headline. Mark Zuckerberg apologizes for Puerto Rico VR stunt. He apparently used his virtual reality cartoon avatar to announce plans to send aid to Puerto Rico. A little blurb from CNN Tech. From Facebook's headquarters in Manila Park on Monday, CEO Mark Zuckerberg's cartoon avatar announced an effort to help Puerto Rico. And on Tuesday, he apologized for what some considered a tone-deaf way to deliver a message of humanitarian aid. I mean,
this is the first time hearing of this story.
He also was like, it was like a VR tour of Puerto Rico, apparently. Just not a... Yeah, here we go. Ooh, good. Zuckerberg and Facebook's head of social VR, Rachel Franklin, virtually, quote, teleported, quote, to Puerto Rico using a 360 video shot by NPR. We're on a bridge here. It's flooded, and you can get a sense of some of the damage here that the hurricanes have done, Zuckerberg said as floodwaters in Puerto Rico ran past behind the cartoon duo. One of the things that's magical about virtual reality is you can get the feeling that you're really in a place. I think the biggest problem there was the cartoon thing. If they would have just not had their cart, like they're basically like their little like wee me characters or whatever. If you just don't have that, I think it. You're selling Facebook's VR technology with that's gross. That's grody. Okay. Anyway. A couple things from Twitter. As always, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe. Ivan, one more time, came in with, what do you think that the Chiefs would need to add to take them all the way? Well, this is the thing. This is where this I sound like a non-believer, I guess. I think what the Chiefs need to add is a consistent deep shot. More of Tyreek Hill as DeSean Jackson, and more of Alex Smith being willing to use him that way. I think that's the thing. I think this offense spreads out even more when that happens, and defenses just get completely freaking lost whenever that is established. Just completely lost. But that's it. The offensive line has been good with subpar talent. I mean, they've had injuries come through. The offensive line's held up really well. Smith has played well. Travis Kelce's a monster. And Kareem Hunt is insanely dynamic. It's just using Tyreek Hill to the utmost. Also, the defense has been tremendous, and so this is also another thing that I've touched on since I don't know week three maybe. The goalposts have moved in the NFL, not literally, but what it takes to be a Super Bowl contender and even a Super Bowl favorite, an AFC favorite, even what was required for you to be the favorite to win a Super Bowl or win your conference has very, very much changed. Because I don't think that this, and again, please hear this carefully. I'm assuming that someone's going to hate how I phrase this, but I don't think this Chiefs team is amazing. I don't think they're unstoppable. I don't think they're an obvious destroyer of worlds. But I think they're like a couple games better than everybody else in the AFC, which is realistically all that matters. And frankly, the whole NFL has this. This is what the NFL is right now. The Falcons lose at home to the Bills, and the Cowboys and the Packers are both flawed. The Patriots are obviously extremely flawed. This is a really, and this is something I missed. This is something I missed really big. I missed this bigly, as the president may say. I missed this prediction in a huge way. I thought this season was done before it started. I thought we were getting Steelers, Patriots, and then probably Falcons, Packers. And especially though in the AFC, nothing mattered other than Steelers, Patriots. Super wrong on that one. Totally whiffed. This is probably the most open AFC I've ever seen. The Jacksonville Jaguars at this point legitimately think they have a chance to do something in this conference. And, like, they're kind of right. They've got a really good running back and a really great defense. That might be enough. Can you even, like, wrap your head around that, how crazy that is? But it's the truth. And it's amazing. I think that's the thing I got most wrong before the season, and the thing that is most impactful now. The AFC is wide open. And the Chiefs are not a great team. But they're better than everything else the AFC has to offer. And frankly, I think they're better than everything else the AFC has to offer by a decent margin. And that's amazing. Maybe the whole league. So I think that's the thing that matters maybe the most here. Also, Charlie, who I thought was named David, not that Charlie, tweeted and said, well, what happens whenever Kareem Hunt gets hurt? I don't know. It depends for how long, when that happens. Charkandrick West has looked real good. They'll probably sign C.J. Spiller one more time. I don't know. But I think they just become an even more pass-happy Andy Reid offense, which is something that we're relatively used to. I think there's a whole lot more bringing in the screen game, a whole lot more bubble screening to Kelce and Demetrius Harris and Albert Wilson, those guys. The Chiefs can survive a little bit of that, but not much. So I hope that's not a version of this team we have to see anytime soon. A few more things from Sunday night, in case you missed it earlier. A thing that surprised me to learn yesterday. I didn't even realize that Deshaun Watson had 75 yards at the end of three quarters. He ended the game with 5 touchdowns and a 94 QBR and a 119 quarterback rating. As a huge disservice to the Chiefs' defense. They were stupendous, especially through the first three quarters. Houston scored 21 points in the fourth quarter and brought the game closer, obviously. But I think if the Chiefs had 23 points at halftime, if the Chiefs didn't score a second half point, I still think they would have won this game. I'm glad they didn't have to, but the way that the Texans' offense was moving, I was not particularly worried by that. I didn't love seeing them settle for a bunch of field goals. That was one problem that I did have. Although Harrison Butker appears to be the second coming. He was 5 for 5. His longest one came from 49 yards. Buttkicker.com, as Andy Reid has called him, just bafflingly. He was stupendous again. So I would like to see him getting a little less work, but I have no complaints for his performance, and the offense did plenty. I mentioned earlier that Tyreek Hill wasn't used especially effectively. He had 68 yards. I'm starting to get a little bit, not long-term worried. I'm thinking that he's going to have a quieter season than I wanted to see him have, because there is still a hesitance in Alex Smith for taking those truly deep shots. Smith is much better in the intermediate level than he has been in years past, and that's fantastic, and I'm happy for that to be true. But I'm still a little bit hesitant of his hesitance, if that makes sense. I don't love having to literally just be begging my TV to show me Alex Smith throwing a 40-yard pass down the sideline to Tyreek Hill. He also had the punt return touchdown, by the way, so, you know, not a bad day for Tyreek Hill. Anyway, I want to see more of that. I think that's the place where this offense has the most chance to improve. Travis Kelce potentially not being on the field for the Steelers game would be a really big blow to this offense. But either way, I think that the Tyreek Hill thing is where this offense has the best chance to grow. And I hope they do. It's relatively early in the season when you think about it. I mean, I know it feels like we're ready for the playoffs to start because the Chiefs at this point would be prohibitive favorites, I would think. And maybe not through the whole AFC. I suppose the Patriots might have some more money in Vegas, but certainly over Pittsburgh. And this is sort of showing my hand a little bit. Whenever we come back, we'll have a show. Beards, if you have any idea if we have a show Thursday or Friday, is that up in the air still?
Thursday. Let me pull up the schedule real quick, and I'll let you know.
Okay. It doesn't really matter. Whenever we come back, whenever we have our next show, we'll do a lot of Steelers Chiefs talk. But as of right now, I expect the Chiefs to win by like 2 touchdowns against Pittsburgh.
Friday is a definite yes. Thursday is a most likely yes, depending on playoffs.
Okay. I'm guessing that tomorrow's game influences Thursday's show, whatever. So, but we'll be here on Friday, and we'll talk about it a bunch then. But as of right now, like, I genuinely am feeling like, oh, well, the Chiefs should probably beat Pittsburgh by like 2 touchdowns. And I know people are getting kind of nervous about the idea that, oh, the Steelers are going to be mad, and I just don't get it. I don't see it. Like, oh, they're gonna be angry. Big Ben's gonna be mad about being bad, I guess. I think the Chiefs are a pretty thoroughly better team. I don't see Pittsburgh stopping Kareem Hunt. I don't see the secondary keeping up with Tyreek Hill. I don't see their defense getting anything past Marcus Peters. Like, it's just really It's crazy where we are with the Chiefs, but that's I think, where we should be. And it's a pretty tremendous place. DeAndre Hopkins ended up catching 3 touchdowns on Sunday night. Again, 2 of those were very late. This goes back to your conversations about Marcus Peters and Terrence Mitchell. Weird amounts of negativity keep showing up about them. DeAndre Hopkins had 4 receptions for 52 yards. His longest one was a 34-yard reception. Do you know how many times DeAndre Hopkins was targeted on Sunday night? 4 receptions, 52 yards. He was targeted 12 times. That's 4 for 12 when throwing to DeAndre Hopkins. That's one of the best receivers in football. And Terrence Mitchell and Marcus Peters were keeping that pretty in check. Now, 3 of his 4 receptions were touchdowns. Only one of them really counted. Although the other 2 did count for my fantasy football league up top. Could not have gone better. I tell you what, I'm going to go full Charlie here for a moment. I needed DeAndre Hopkins to end up with like 18 or 19 fantasy points in one league. And he just kept pulling in touchdowns late in the game. And it was hilarious because the Chiefs won, the game was over, and he was getting those garbage time points. It was fantastic. So it worked out for me. Again, Deshaun Watson threw for 75 yards through 3 quarters. Steven Anderson and Will Fuller were the 2 leading receivers for the Texans because they both had long receptions. There were a few big plays all late in the game. I don't know how you can't feel good about the Chiefs, honestly. And I know that J.J. Watt and Whitney Merciless getting knocked out early were big losses for the Texans. But the Chiefs played without Dee Ford, which is seeming like increasingly less and less of a big deal. I'd be very surprised to see Dee Ford back with the Chiefs next year at this point. I think he's probably gone. But you've got no Dee Ford. Eric Berry's gone. Eric Berry and J.J. Watt, I think, are honestly comparable impact players, or at least as far as like the genre that they fill, as far as like the heart of the defense. The Chiefs have been dealing with their injuries very, very well. That's why John Dorsey deserves a contract extension. Wait a second. I feel really good about where the Chiefs are still. I don't think they're a great team, but I think they're the best of the AFC by a pretty clear margin, and that's a really bizarre thing to realize at this point. I still want to see more vertical passing. I want to see more using Tyreek Hill down the sidelines. I don't think replacing Chris Conley is going to be a huge, huge deal. I think we're going to see... I think Marcus Kemp is the guy that made it to the practice squad. Garrett Dieter's also there. One of those guys probably gets brought up, I would think, sometime soon. J.U. Chesson, I would imagine, gets activated. He's been inactive for most of the season, if not the whole season. Expect to see him out on the field. I want to see more of that. You get more, a little more downfield action, and I think the Alex Smith, the new Alex Smith, becomes even more real. That's the place where I think this offense has some more space to grow. All right, whenever we come back, we're going to go back to cocaine.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.
As this show should be consumed, I would argue. This show's weird today, for sure. Like, even maybe weirder than usual, just because, like, I was prepared for 30 minutes of weird and then 2 hours of all this other stuff tomorrow. And then ended up being still 30 minutes of just firing every bullet in the chamber. And then being told, you got 90 more minutes! Which is good. I was happy for that. But, fumbling around trying to reload this like, I'm imagining my Nerf gun revolver thing. I don't know what it's called. It's a revolver Nerf gun, whatever. We were just trying to launch all those all at once. And now we've been in this weird limbo for a while. We're just like, oh, no, there's no show tomorrow at all. Got all this Chief stuff. People listening to the podcast will be very upset because we talked about the anthem before we talked about Alex Smith. Oh, man. One more Chiefs nugget before we get to the back to the cocaine story. This is from Barley Hop on Twitter. He said, the Steelers do have the number one pass defense in the league, but here are the quarterbacks they have faced. DeShone Kizer, Case Keenum, Mike Glennon, Joe Flacco, Blake Bortles. One more time in case you missed it. DeShone Kizer, Case Keenum, Mike Glennon, Joe Flacco, Blake Bortles.
That's an all-star list right there.
That is
all-pro.
All-pro. Yeah, don't even... How dare you, all-star.
Hall of Fame.
All of those guys have busts ready to go into Canton.
We're going to name cities after those guys.
Has that ever happened for an NFL quarterback before?
It will now.
You know, there's like a Lambeau, you know, field. Wait, what? I was going with Lombardi. I meant to say Lombardi. I don't even know who Lambeau Field is named after. Find that for me, Beards. I was going to say like Lombardi, like Drive or whatever, and then Trophy. And I said Lambeau for some reason. Whatever. I've watched a lot of the Steelers this year. If I can watch the Steelers, I'm going to. Steelers, Patriots, Broncos, Raiders. I'm always watching those teams because those are the teams that I think are going to end up in the Chiefs' way at one point or another. I have not been impressed by the Steelers' pass defense. This makes sense now. Now it makes sense as to why they have the number one pass defense. Because they've played bleeping no one. DeShone Kizer, Case Keenum, Mike Glennon, Joe Flacco, Blake Bortles. None of those guys are even close to Alex Smith's MVP caliber play so far this year. Life is weird. So something else to look forward there, too. It'll be much harder without Travis Kelce if, in fact, the Chiefs do have to play without Travis Kelce. But I'm not afraid of the Steelers. Sorry. Do you have any information on whatever Jim Lambeau? Nothing yet?
Nope.
How hard is this? Like, this happened with a TBS like detective show. His name is Curly Lambeau. Beards, you're so bad at this. 2 months after the death of Packers founder Curly Lambeau, New City Stadium was renamed Lambeau Field. He played football, he was a coach, and he was a founder, player, and first coach of the Green Bay Packers. Curly Lambeau. I asked you to look that up like 20 minutes ago in radio time.
Oh, I thought you were wanting me to find a certain piece of audio. Never mind.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Oh, you did. Oh, okay. I don't need that audio. We can tell the story, though, really quickly.
I had a brain fart. That's the story.
The story is that for his entire life, Beards McFly thought that the Green Bay Packers played in a dome. That's the full story.
Fake news.
No, that's what happened.
You weren't even there. How would you know?
I've heard the audio. All right, we can go back to the cocaine. In case you've somehow not yet heard this, the Miami Dolphins offensive line coach, whose name I've forgotten, Chris Forster, I believe.
Yep.
There was a video.
Since deleted.
That he recorded that he sent to a Nevada model.
Who is originally from Kansas City.
An important detail. It was a video of him doing snorting a white powdery substance through a $20 bill.
Was it a 20?
Yeah, okay. Lemitard show figured that one out.
Okay.
Through a $20 bill.
Cheap.
Well, if Beard is going to snort coke, he'd be doing it through a hundo. Doing it through
million.
A Franklin.
Take one of those little fake $1 million bills that you used to have as a kid.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Do all that cocaine you used to have as a kid. Fantastic.
Yep.
And he was recording himself, as he admits in this audio, right before a meeting. We'll just play the audio one more time. It's just magical. A few things to listen for. One, whenever he says something about those big grains falling, that one's pretty good. Two, listen for whenever he mentions that this model is pregnant with a baby.
Maybe, allegedly.
I mean, listen to when he's, I'm just saying, this is like an I Spy game, but for your ears. Listen for big grains falling. Listen for, here's just a clue. Listen for a conversation about a baby. Listen for him wanting to consume this cocaine a different way. That one has a couple of bleeps. It's harder to figure out.
But that is kind of a giveaway that it's bleeped.
You'll find it still. That's okay. What else do you need to find in here? Oh, the admissions that it's before a meeting.
And also just here.
And also that. And also that a few times.
Hey, babe. Miss you. Thinking about you. How about me going to a meeting and doing this before I go?
Ding.
And there's those big grains falling.
Ding.
But I miss you. I miss you a lot. What do you think? Crazy? Oh, no, babe. It's going to be a while before we can do this again. Because I know you're going to keep that baby.
Ding.
But I think about you when I do it. I think about how much I miss you, how high we got together, how much fun it was. So much fun. Last little bit before I go to my meeting. Was that fucked up yet? You think? I think not. I wish I was f***ing this off your
Ding, gross. I'm trying to find now the clip from I'm trying to find the clip or the text from the model.
Oh, from when she originally posted it?
Yeah,
I've got those saved because I figured she would delete the video at some point, so I actually went and copied those out.
Okay, can you find that for me?
So the original, I've got it pulled up. The original.
Ah,
post,
I have it here. Okay.
Okay, you go ahead.
This is what she wrote along with the video, I believe. The white people mad at me like I forced blow down this man's nose and like I recorded it on the low. No, those are his habits, and he recorded himself and sent it to me professing his love. So quick to make excuses for him. So far, so good, right? Like, so far, everyone has to be on board.
This is a later post, by the way. It's not with the video.
Okay. Then it elevates to the next level. So quick to make excuses for him, but will roast a minority player over an anthem, dogfights, weed, domestic issues, etc. But y'all keep saying all lives matter, STFU. Exclamation points.
That escalated quickly.
Also, somewhere there was something about Kaepernick?
That's probably another one of those since deleted posts. I think she kind of went on a little splurge. Her Facebook was private, or not private, it was public, so you could see all of this.
We just did a 2-hour.
It is a great story.
We did a 2-hour show, and I'm realizing now that we didn't spend nearly enough time on the cocaine story just because, like, I feel like there are 7 levels of this that we haven't totally wrapped our minds around yet. All right, no show tomorrow because of baseball, but we'll be back on Thursday or Friday. I don't know. We'll be back. Bye, Mom. Again.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.